The Kasperi Kapanen deal. The one thing about your career specifically is, well, there's a few things. You're not shy about the big move. You're not shy about acting swiftly when you have the right deal. And you're also not shy about bringing people back, whether it's Matt Cullen, whether it's Paul Maurice, or in this case, Kasperi Kapanen. What about Kasperi Kapanen do you think is a fit this time around for your Penguin squad?
Well, he plays the style that the Penguins play. We like his speed. We feel that he was blocked out in Toronto behind on the right side, you know, behind Marner and Nylander. We feel he can play in the top six. And he's developed, you know, like most players I trade, 99% of the players I trade, it's not because I don't like them as a person or a player. It's circumstances, whether it's cap reasons or budget reasons or we need a certain type of player. And when we traded Kapanen, it wasn't a player I wanted to trade, but we got Phil Kessel, which was an important player to get for the Penguins, and it turned out that he was very important. And now in this case, we had the 15th pick overall, should be a good player in this year's draft, but probably won't be ready to be an impact player for another two or three years. And with where we are in our window to contend with our core guys, Crosby and Malkin, mm-hmm. and Letang, you know, we feel that adding a player that can come in and play for us now in our top six was important.
Stewie?
So I know it's very early in the offseason, but where do you see him playing? Do you see him playing with Crosby or Malkin?
It'll be one or the other. Russ did a really nice job there this year playing with Malkin, but Russ has also played with Crosby. So that'll be determined at camp between those two guys. It gives us good speed on the right side, and we are very confident that he can play with either one.
Justin?
Jim, how much stock did you guys put in this postseason? It was a disappointing series, but it was also a short and weird sort of return to play playoff year, best of five. How much stock did you guys put in that when you were evaluating what kind of team you have here in the big picture?
Well, we put some stock into it because we fizzled out at the end of the series. I mean, things didn't go our way in the first two games. We lost one and won one. But we played well enough to win both games. And as the series wound down, we didn't play with that same determination. Now, we had a really good regular season. We were seventh overall. We dealt with a lot of adversity. But what I do look at is what happened the prior year with the Islanders, where we got swept four straight. Probably deserved to win the first two games. But the goaltending was very good, just like it was in the Montreal series, and then fizzled out in those last two games. We need to keep coming and playing with that determination and give everything we've got right to the very last second of the game of a series. And 2 years in a row, we didn't do it. So that's where I evaluate, and that's where I start looking. Even though I like a certain player, and he's played well for the Penguins, it may be time to change certain players, and that's what I'm in the process of doing.
How busy do you anticipate being, Jim? We're all expecting at some point a goaltending move. How busy will Jim Rutherford be?
Well, I don't know what the results are going to be and how many moves we can make, but I'm busy. I've been busy since we were eliminated, and as each team gets eliminated, they get a phone call from me. They can make trades at that point. It's been pretty active because the general managers recognize that we're in a very, you know, if we start to get back to camp the middle of November, we're in a real short period of time here. And so waiting for the cup to be awarded to someone mm-hmm. would be a little bit dangerous because you're dealing with a very short period of time.
Flat cap making it that much more difficult for you, Jim?
Yes, more difficult for everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody was expecting a little more leeway. And you know, it'll probably stay flat for a couple of years. So not only are you looking at this year, you got to look at next year, too, you know, what commitments you may have. So it's made things more difficult.
Just as a quick follow-up about moves, we've been talking a lot lately about players not getting qualified, mainly because teams with the flat cap don't want to get killed on an arbitration number. Do you think that's going to be a major story for hockey fans or even in people in the industry to follow in this offseason?
Yeah, it could be. It could be because you could put yourself in a tough spot. Of course, qualifying guys that are going to make over $4 million,
yeah.
You have some protection there where you can walk away, but it's actually 4.1, I believe. But you know, some of the more mid-level guys, the guys that are in that $2 million area where you can't walk away, you could get yourself in trouble. So I think you're going to see some of that.
Stewie?
You guys acquired two prospects in Åberg and Lindgren. How far do you anticipate them being until they're regular NHL players?
Well, that's hard to say. You know, Lindgren, he's a little on the lighter side. You know, he's going to have to figure out how to play at that weight or get a little bit stronger. But he's 23 and a defenseman. They take longer to develop, maybe until they're 24 or 25. So I would say that he still has a chance. In Åberg's case, he's a little bit older. But he's played NHL games. He's played good NHL games. I remember when he played for Nashville against us in the finals. I really liked him. Mm-hmm. I don't know where that's going to go. He's playing in Russia now. I don't know if he'd play there this year and come back next year. But he's a legitimate NHL player. So we'll follow him along.
Jim, when my dad played for the Islanders back in the day, he used to talk about how when Al Arbour, when he had messages for them, that was just sort of, there wasn't a ton of communication. This was the lineup, this is when you go, and you don't ask too many questions, and that's not the case these days, I know. I wonder how you feel about goaltenders and communication, because we're seeing Leonard and Fleury have a thing in Vegas, and I know you guys had some debate some nights about which goalie to go with. How much do you guys think it's important to communicate with these goaltenders what's going on, what you're thinking, versus just you tell the guy when it's time to go and it's time to go?
Well, I think the goalie coach plays such a key factor in that communication. You know, the head coach has enough to do, and he's going to communicate periodically with the goalies, but the goalie coach has a really good handle on one, how the goalie's playing. Is he on top of his game? What his mental state is? And how he feels about how he's being used. So that's a very important role of the goalie coach to make the recommendations to the head coach on what goalie's playing.
One thing that I probably should have asked you off the top of this, what kind of communication have you had? And we're speaking to Jim Rutherford, GM of the Pittsburgh Penguins. What type of communication have you had with Kasperi Kapanen in the last 24 hours?
I had a conversation with him when we traded for him. We talked a little bit about what he's done and where he's going to fit in here, and our coaches talked to him and people in the organization. So my conversation was good. He was obviously disappointed. He really liked playing in Toronto and hoped he would play there longer. You know, he looks past that disappointment, looks forward to being in Pittsburgh, and feels that it's going to be a good fit for him.
And the reason I ask, and I preface this off the top, is you're not shy about bringing players back. I mean, this has kind of been this has been something that Jim Rutherford's not shy about doing. Do you have your welcome back to the team speech already prepared before you talk to the player?
No, I kind of see how it goes, but That speech was pretty short. You know, when you say, hey, you're coming to Pittsburgh, welcome to Pittsburgh, and you're going to play with either Crosby or Malkin, and that's
yeah, that's a pretty nice drawing card, Jim. Stewie, go ahead.
In regards to the goaltending, when it's known publicly known that a player is available, does it help get the deal done quicker, or does it just promote a lot of tire kicking and dragging it out a lot longer?
It depends. Different teams work different ways. You know, somebody when certain guys when they want something, they come in and they get it done in a couple of days, and other teams take their time. I mean, we're in a time now where there's some free agent goalies going to be available. We have, we have two young goalies in their mid-20s that can grow with a young team. I think there's a real advantage to that. Obviously, if it's Matt Murray that gets moved, he's got the great resume with two Stanley Cups on it. He's a very good goalie in his mid-20s where he can grow, and then Jari the same. So, you know, we'll have to see. I mean, I'd like to keep both guys. I would have liked to have kept Fleury, but that was because of cap reasons. And for cap reasons, now I'm going to have to move one of these two guys.
Jim, I profess utter ignorance here, but this is a strange season. I wonder, are you guys as GMs right now, are you allowed to be in touch with the GMs of the teams who are still playing and work out something for when they're done, or is it sort of a no-contact thing until after?
Nobody talks about that, but I don't know anything wrong with talking to GMs that are playing.
Okay.
Obviously, you can't make a deal, but if there's somebody in their playoff series and they say, geez, you know, there's something we need here, we don't want to miss out on it, for them to make a call to a team and say, you know, I'm going to have interest when I'm done, there's nothing wrong with that.
Jim, last question, and we thank you for your time. We expect to see, and we will already see one in Kasperi Kapanen, some new faces with the Pittsburgh Penguins next season. Outside of trades or free agent signings, and I'm thinking of players with Wilkes-Barre or maybe, you know, like a Samuel Poulin or a Nathan Légaré in Baie-Comeau, how many new young faces do you think we should expect to see with the Penguins next season? Do you have a number in mind, or does it just depend on training camp?
It's hard to say. Because we're certainly going to give those guys a chance. You know, we got Joseph that we got in the Kessel trade from Arizona, good young defenseman.
Yep.
That's getting closer to playing now. We signed a college free agent in O'Sullivan that is a good left winger that'll be given a good chance. We signed a couple of defensemen, Lee out of Western. Good puck moving defenseman. So there's some guys there that we'll give a good look to. And we found that, you know, going back to our successful years in 16 and 17, when we've had a group of young guys on the team, they bring a different energy to the game every day. And so we would like to add a few young guys to our team this year.